Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship on this Pentecost Sunday. On this day, we remember the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church in these last days. I wanted to let you all know that Pastor Keen is not here this morning. He became ill, and so he's at home right now. And so at the last minute, I am filling in, which I'm very excited about, and truly. But we do have, so do keep him in your prayers, and he hopes to be back with us soon. It looks like it's just a 24-hour stomach bug of some sort. But anyway, we do have worship bulletins for you to follow along in our liturgy, and there's a couple things that I wanted to call to your attention this morning. First of all, we have our new church directory, which is available. It is blue, so you don't get it confused with our worship bulletin. But we have these out on the welcome desk, and so feel free to pick one up on your way out of the church this morning. And then also, if you would like to have a PDF copy of this directory, you can email our church office, and our administrator, Lisa Johnson, will make sure that you get that as well. Also, as is our custom during this time of social distancing, we'll not be collecting the offering during the worship service, but we'll have some ushers standing at the door upon our exit for you to contribute your tithes and offerings to Christ Church. And then also, since the bulletins were already printed prior to us realizing Pastor Keen was going to be sick, all of the scripture readings are different. And so there should be a pink insert in your bulletin, and this contains all the scripture readings that we will actually be covering this morning in lieu of the passages that are printed in the bulletin. So other than that, I believe that's all the announcements I'm going to highlight this morning. And so I have Blake Williams, who will be assisting in worship this morning. And so Blake will lead us in our call to worship.
Good morning. Please stand. Our call to worship is Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, O God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled.
O you, hear prayer. To you all men will come.
When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions.
Blessed are those who choose and bring near to live in your courts.
We are filled with the good things of your house, of your temple. Let us now sing hymn number 98.
Joy.
Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now proclaim our creed, saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture lesson is also from the sermon text, Genesis 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is the word of the Lord. We come now to a time of confessional prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you poured out your Spirit upon gathered disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. With broken and contrite hearts, we confess that we grieve your Holy Spirit. We do not listen for your word of grace. Speak the good news of your love, or live as a people made one in Christ. Have mercy upon us, O God. Please transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit, and fill us with flaming desire to be your faithful people, doing your will for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our assurance of pardon is from Isaiah 55, which says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Our second reading is from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house while they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not these men who are speaking Galilean? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declare the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Father, because our hope is in you, we call out to you in prayer. We humble ourselves and we bring before you our requests and our intercessions, always submitting ourselves to your wisdom and to your perfect timing. Father, the earth has many languages, but the gospel proclaims your love and grace to all nations in one heavenly language. Make us messengers of the good news that through the power of the Holy Spirit, all the world would see the beauty of Jesus and embrace him by faith. Father, we also acknowledge that you rule all nations. And right now there is unrest in this nation due to the death of George Floyd. Father, through your life-giving Spirit, may you move every human heart so that the barriers which divide us may crumble, that hatreds would cease, that divisions would be healed, and justice and peace may rule in this land. And Father, we do give you thanks for your mercies to this nation. We enjoy great freedoms that have come at a high cost. We thank you for those who have gone before us to pave the way. So, Father, may you comfort families who have lost sons and daughters to war. We ask that you also be with the men and women who serve in our military and face risk daily. May you keep them from harm. May you keep them from hate that hardens. And may they always strive for peace. And Father, for those who are serving abroad, may you bring them home soon. We also think this morning of our missionaries who proclaim the good news of your gospel in foreign lands. We think of Rodney and Jenna Davila in Costa Rica. We pray for Dave and Paige Haas, who serve with the Navigators in the military. We pray for Don and Leah Vanderplug, for Andrew Newman, for SIE ATN. Pray also for the Reverend B. Kirk, who serves as chaplain in St. Joseph's Hospital. Father, would you be with each of these? Would you provide for their needs? Would you provide much fruit through their labors, that many would hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you would call many to yourself. Father, we also pray for those with special needs. We ask especially that you would comfort the family of David Barden in their time of grief. We pray also for John Keane, that you would bring healing to his body, that you would strengthen him, that you'd bring him back to us soon. Pray that you would be with Mrs. Patty Sorrells and Mr. Mitchell Anderson, who both have recently suffered strokes. Would you give them grace, Lord, and help them to recover and regain full function of all their limbs and of all their ability to speak. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. We also pray for Bruno Gravanti, and would you give him strength and grace as he battles lung cancer? Be also with Mr. Stephen Hunt, with Larry Dickey, with Marcia Craig, her step-grandson Ethan. Would you be with Alan Dostal and Judy Smith, Mercedes Kirk, St. Claude McDonald, Aline Colley, Laura Cameron, and Lenore Ball? Lord, there's so many other names we could mention, and you know the needs of each of these individuals, and so we pray that you would restore their health, that you would sustain them in their difficulty, and that you would draw near to them at their very point of need. Father, we also pray for all those who are infected with COVID-19. Would you strengthen and heal their bodies, calm their fears, Lord, and pray that you would bring an end to this terrible virus. Give grace to those who are searching for a vaccine. And pray that you'd also be with those who have been laid off or have had hours cut to their work due to pandemic restrictions. And Lord, you promised in your word that you provide for all of our needs. And so we ask that you would draw near to each of these, that their hope would be in you, and that you would provide. Father, I pray that you would hear all of these prayers and requests, for we offer them in the name of our Savior Jesus, always remembering that there is salvation in no one else, that there is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. And so, Father, we close by praying the model prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third reading is from John chapter 7. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." Others said, "How can Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. The word of the Lord. Now please stand and sing along hymn number 339.
Of life and war.
Let us pray. Oh God, what a privilege it is to come into your house today, giving but a portion of what you have so graciously bestowed upon us. Father, we do not take the time to really thank you for bestowing every good and perfect gift that you have given us. Help us, Father, to have gracious hearts. Help us to be a blessing to those around us, especially in these dark times. In these times of uncertainty, in these times of even death, of these times of racial insecurity, help us to be healers. Help us to spread the word, the good news of Jesus Christ, and help us to have gracious hearts to give but a portion back to you. We thank you. We praise you. We lift up your name, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. We'll now sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Well, if you have a Bible with you, you can go ahead and open it to Genesis chapter 11. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 9 this morning. And for your convenience, as I've already mentioned, we have that pink insert with all the scripture passages for you to follow along. And when I received the call last evening that Pastor Keene was sick, I usually have a sermon ready for such times as this. However, I was only about halfway finished with my next sermon in the series in Philippians. And to make a long story short, this sermon this morning is a sermon that I preached 10 years ago. And so if you have good memories, you'll know where I'm going. But however, I felt like since it has been so long and since this sermon has themes of Pentecost, which today we recognize, I thought it would be appropriate for this morning. And so and may the Lord bless his preached word. And so the Tower of Babel, the topic of the story that we read earlier, is a well-known story. Most people have heard about this crazy tower that was started but never finished. Even those who are largely unfamiliar with the Bible have heard of it. And that's pretty amazing for a story that takes up only 9 verses in the entire Bible and then is never mentioned specifically ever again. Now, as familiar as the story may be, do we really know what it actually is all about? Typically, we think of the confusion and the discord that was brought about by the mixed up languages, and that's certainly true, but the heart of the meeting is a little bit more than that. Babel actually begins as an attempt of human autonomy. In verses 1 through 4, we see mankind's attempt to find significance, a meaning, and security without God. In verses 5 through 9, we see that God's response of stopping mankind in his tracks is actually a severe mercy. And then finally, at Pentecost, we see God reversing the judgment at Babel to show that the way to significance and the way to meaning is not through a tower, but through a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our main point this morning is that a spirit-filled life that comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to find significance and meaning. And with that being a brief outline, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Now, Father, we do give you thanks for your goodness and your mercies, which are new every morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your mercies, which even at times are severe and painful. Lord, anything that draws us back to you is a good thing. So we ask this morning on Pentecost Sunday that you would send forth your Holy Spirit as your word is proclaimed. May you encourage us. May you convict us of our sins. May you draw us to yourself, and that it would be to your glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, to give a little context of our passage this morning, Genesis chapter 10, which is called the Table of Nations, which we did not read, but it comes immediately before the passage in Genesis 11 that was read. Well, the Table of Nations provides a selective genealogy that reveals in very broad panoramic snapshot that the descendants of Noah were spread or scattered over the face of the earth according to their tribes, their nations, their lands, and their languages. in Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9, then flashes back to explain how that happened, why the descendants of Noah were scattered over the face of the earth. In verses 1 through 3 of our passage this morning state, "And now the whole world had one language and one common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' And they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar." What I want us to see, first of all, is the technological savviness of this early people. What they were doing was impressive, if not entirely amazing. They were taking the resources that were available to them, and with creativity, with determination and hard work, they were doing spectacular things. They had been, apparently, using stone, but then they discovered that they could make bricks, which proved to be much easier to work with and far more efficient. And with bricks, they could build solid homes that were resistant to rain and other weather. And so it's good to use science and technology to advance our knowledge and our stewardship of the earth. We are created to use the raw materials of creation and make them more useful. That's what it means to subdue and rule the earth. If God is the creator with a capital C, these people were showing that they were indeed made in the image of God, that they were sub-creators with a lowercase c. You see, when mankind puts his mind to it, he is capable of incredible advancements, and that's because we are made like God. We are made in the image of our Creator. However, the more important question is to ask, what is driving them to do this? And we read in verse 4, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" So we see that their motivation was twofold. First, it was to make a name for themselves. The people of Babel gloried in themselves and in what their hands had accomplished. They desired fame. They desired recognition. They were seeking social immortality and security apart from God. And in fact, they attempted to overcome the boundaries established by God by actually thinking that they could build into the heavenly realm. They were literally trying to get to heaven on their own efforts. They wanted their name to be exalted, not God's name. Well, their second motivation was to prevent themselves from being scattered over the face of the earth. This was blatant rebellion, because in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 28, God commanded Adam, and then again in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God again gave the same command to Noah that mankind was to go and to fill the earth. They were to spread out and to be scattered over the face of the earth. But rather than spreading out and filling the whole earth, they wanted to establish themselves in one place and build up into the heavens. They didn't want God to call the shots. They wanted to call the shots. They didn't want to have to look to God. They wanted to look to themselves. They wanted to be autonomous, to be independent, their own gods. Both of these motivations taken together present a picture of the sinful heart of fallen mankind, as well as a picture of every single human religion. Every religion, except for Christianity, is about the things that you have to do in order to make yourself significant or worthy of whatever reward is being offered. Whereas Christianity says, there is nothing that you can do. You can't go up to God. It's not going to happen. And when you think about church membership, I think the first vow of membership states it well. And in a nutshell, what that first vow of membership communicates is that we are sinners who deserve judgment, and we have no hope of ever saving ourselves. That is the starting point to become a member of a church, is to acknowledge, I'm a sinner, I can't save myself, and I deserve judgment, and there's nothing I can do. If we're to be saved, God in His mercy must come down. He must rescue us. And that's exactly what He did through Jesus Christ. You see, on the cross, Jesus received the wrath of God against our sin and our self-effort to save ourselves. Out of love for God's people, Jesus paid the debt of our sin. And see, you are of infinite worth because of what God has done for you. You don't have to create your worth yourself. And so rather than being bent on pride and rebellion, we need to humble ourselves. We need to acknowledge our sin and our inability to save ourselves. We need to cry out to God for His mercy. And though we are like God, we are not God. He is very distinct from us. We are creatures. And so the first point this morning is, do not find your worth in what you do. Rather, find it in a right relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the people of Babel were bent on finding their significance without God. And this project of theirs was not an easy project. They endured hard and very difficult labor. They had to sweat and toil under the hot sun. They had to make bricks and work with tar. They had to push and wear themselves out. And all for naught. They labored in vain. They never accomplished their project because they were fighting against God. And this is a picture of what sin does. We wear ourselves out trying to achieve something that we cannot have. It appears so enticing and so inviting, but what we're hoping for is always just out of reach. You can't quite get to it. I'm sure many of you have heard John D. Rockefeller's infamous statement, our answer to the question, how much money is enough? And his answer was, just a little bit more. And that is how it is with whatever we are seeking to give us significance or worth apart from God. We always need just a little bit more. It never is enough. Let's build our tower just a little bit higher. And ironically, it's actually our fear of being worthless and insignificant that leads us to try to make a name for ourselves. And so this morning, you know, ask yourself the question, what am I building? What is my tower? An easy way to discover your tower is to ask yourself, is there an area of my life that if that thing crumbled, I would be so devastated that I could not even go on? You see, if your significance or your worth is tied to your financial stability or to your vocation, or if it is tied to your health or your fitness or to your family or to the success of your kids or to your beauty or intelligence or to your sense of humor, then you must maintain that thing. If that is where you get your significance and worth from, you will work yourself to death in order to keep that one thing. If that thing is ever threatened, watch out. You're going to respond with anger and wrath at whoever threatens that for you and tries to take it from you. And if you ever lose it, well, there's nothing else to do but to fall into despair. And all of this is what the Bible calls idolatry. If your significance depends upon any of these things, then just like the people of Babel, you are trying to make a name for yourself. For what is driving you? Ultimately, in these areas, you're looking to yourself and not to God. You create your worth and your significance. So I urge you, don't wear yourself out striving for human autonomy. Don't try to build a great name for yourself. Instead, acknowledge how great God's name already is. Well, the next scene of our passage, we discover some humor in the form of irony and sarcasm as the story shifts from the human perspective to God's perspective. In verse 5, it states, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building." And there's incredible irony, poking fun at the effort of these men. You see, the people in Babel thought that they were building a tower up into the heavens, but it was so insignificant that in order to see it, God had to actually come down and check it out. And so God immediately shows his disapproval, and as an act of severe mercy, he confuses their language. He disrupts the building process, and the people scatter. And therefore, the second thing this passage teaches us this morning, that in an act of severe mercy, God often disrupts our plans. And by a severe mercy, I mean undergoing a little bit of pain now in order to avoid a bigger pain later. It's like crashing your bike at the top of a hill rather than at the bottom of the hill when you're going 5 times as fast. It still hurts whenever you crash your bike, but it could have been a lot worse. It's like a wake-up call or a warning sign that your priorities are in the wrong place. God is merciful. And sometimes for us to see his mercy, it has to be severe. There needs to be a big wake-up call. God knows that when we set out to find significance apart from him, we will get the very opposite, and we will end up destroying ourselves. And that's the intent of verse 6, where it states, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. In other words, God acknowledges that they are going to crash that bike at the bottom of the hill and be utterly destroyed. He will not let them live outside of their God-given boundaries. He will not let them live with the false security in themselves and in their resources. And their common language was a major factor that brought about their unity in rebellion against God. Language is a key word in this passage. The same Hebrew word translated language or speech is used 5 times in this story. And if we back up to Genesis chapter 2, we see that language was given to Adam, our first father. And the first thing that he did with language was to name all of the animals that God had made. In other words, language identified the works of God's hands. Whereas in the story of Babel, we see language is used not to exalt and to glorify God, but instead to glorify man by identifying the works of man's hands. And so in an ironic play on words, verse 9 states, this is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. You see, to its founders, Babel meant gate or residence of the gods. But in Hebrew, that same word sounds a lot like the word for confused. And so the text makes fun of the ingenuity and the technological savviness of these people by calling it nothing but confusion. In other words, the message is that they were reduced to babbling fools in their effort to find significance apart from God. So, like I said earlier, we are to work hard and to use science and technology to advance our knowledge and stewardship of the earth. However, we are to do that to God's glory, not to our own. And finally, another key word in this story is the Hebrew word for scattered. God had commanded that mankind spread out and fill the earth. Yet the people of Babel settled in the plains of Shinar. And they settled there so that, for the purpose that they would not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But in spite of their rebellion, God still accomplishes his purpose. And through the confusion of languages, the people are indeed scattered over the face of the whole earth. And this prepares us for the most amazing work of God's grace. And the third point this morning is that God regathers those who acknowledge his name. Isn't it interesting that in judgment, God scattered mankind through language? And at the day of Pentecost, he gathered his people also through language, as everyone heard the disciples speaking in his own language. And this is the amazing beauty of the day of Pentecost. It's the beginning of the last days when God regathers his people from all nations. It is the inversion. It is the opposite of Babel. And so we see that the story of Babel is a precursor to the story of Pentecost, and that Pentecost is actually rooted in the story of Babel. At Babel, language was used to unite man in finding meaning and significance apart from God, whereas at Pentecost, language was used to unite man in finding meaning and significance only in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What we truly yearn for in life, it cannot be accomplished by our own hands. Instead, it has already been accomplished by Jesus' hands. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, which was the very first sermon preached after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter declares to the crowd he was preaching to, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And the apostles in the early church spread the name of Jesus from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And today, God is still gathering his people. The promise still holds true. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This is the common language that unites us, the language of God's grace. It is in Jesus that we discover our infinite meaning and our significance. And so if you're not a Christian this morning, we're glad that you are here. And I pray that you don't wear yourself out trying to make a name for yourself, only to have it crumble at the end of the day. God desires to gather you to himself. So I urge you, acknowledge, confess, and turn from your sin and your pride, and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be gathered by God into his loving care. Nothing can snatch you out of the Father's hand. And if you are a Christian this morning, then enjoy the goodness of God, who forgives us, who renews us, who strengthens us, who walks with us. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with you. Remember our gospel reading this morning from John chapter 7. Jesus said to those who believed that streams of living water would flow from them by the Holy Spirit. As those who have been regathered, Jesus has a commission for us. We are to go and to tell all who are scattered among the nations the good news of the gospel, to let them know that God is gathering his people. Now, through the church, we are to baptize and teach them all things that Jesus has taught us. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus will empower and use us to glorify his name. And so, Christian, may the works of your hands be great, but may they lead us to glorify God in heaven, not ourselves. Amen. Father, we do ask that you would draw near to us. Fill us with your Spirit anew. Help us to know that our worth is found in you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would go forth with your word, drawing us all to yourself, and that it would be to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I invite you to grab your bulletin and let's stand and sing "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." The words are printed in your bulletin. receive the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.